Okay, as promised, I'm not going to make this boring, but as promised, I'm going to talk about what the West is doing to help Hong Kong. Part of this is kind of like in a sense, it's like, you know, the applesauce salesman on TV is going to, what do you eat at lunch when you're in a hurry? Applesauce. What do you have as a side dish for breakfast in the morning? Applesauce. What do you have for dessert after dinner? You know, applesauce and ice cream. Okay, you know, ask all these questions and it's always the same answer. Okay, so in a sense, it's like I'm asking a question, you know, how do we solve this problem? Well, you know, China is bad. In a sense, it's kind of sort of along those lines, but not totally. All right. America is a powerful country. Arguably the most powerful country in the world still. It's not going to be much longer. But try to put something in perspective. Anytime there's a bad thing happening in the world, a lot of people will say, why doesn't somebody do something? Now, in the words of Congressman Bob McEwen, somebody is another term for America. Why doesn't somebody do something? They mean, why doesn't America do something? Because who else is going to do anything? So Hong Kong is mainly Britain's problem because, or responsibility or concern, because Hong Kong being under Britain or China is decided by a treaty between China and Britain. America's not involved in that at all. The only role America would have is that they're big and then therefore they have some type of a Good Samaritan obligation. That's the only involvement. It would be, you know, like an ethical type of a thing. America has no binding contract or agreement with Hong Kong at all. Britain does. Now, part of the delusion, even people in Taiwan don't seem to be fully aware of this. The reason that Hong Kong is part of China, Hong Kong Island belonged to Britain properly. It was not leased. There was no obligation to give it back to China at all. China had instigated a war with Britain. Now, arguably, you know, Britain went to China wanting trade. China said, we're better than you. We don't care about you. And we're talking like 200 years ago. And they started trading anyway because China wanted to send out its tea leaves, regrow them, and then send more leaves, and then regrow them and send more leaves. But then silver was buying that tea from Britain going into China and staying there. So silver going in, tea leaves going out, and China, in their obsessive, self-centered narcissism, decided that that was fair. Well, that's begging for a country to bomb you. And that's something the Chinese don't get. The rest of the world, humanity, needs China to understand this. They need China to be a part of humanity. China is part of humanity, but it's cut off. And it's this one-way blood circulation, in a sense. And the blood doesn't flow through that part of the body and circle back around. And this is very unhealthy for all the rest of the body. Humanity needs China to get along with everybody else, but China wants it all to be a one-way street in China's temporary favor, even though it's destroying the rest of the world. So that, you know, the self-centered, childish obsession with benefiting everything and giving nothing in return is how China's operated with the West from the beginning. And that's what led to the Opium Wars. Britain said, okay, it's silver for leaves. We'll send them opium. So they smuggled in opium and they ran a black market. And so opium leaves went into China and silver came back. So the silver was going in a circle and so were the leaves. So China didn't like this and they blamed Britain for it. But, you know, who really started all that? Was it Britain that started that by going to them and initiating trade with Japan, with China? Excuse me. My goodness. Why did I say Japan? I'm stuck in the Far East. Japan didn't work that way. But who was it that started it? Was it Britain by initiating the trade or was it China by not wanting to get along with the rest of the world in the first place? And I argue that the responsibility who started the fight goes to China, because we as humans need to get along. You don't isolate yourself from the rest of humanity. You don't do that. We must get along with each other on some level. We must interact with each other on some level. It doesn't have to be ultimately free trade and erase borders and let criminals come into our houses because we hate walls. We don't need that. My good, did I trigger a flashpoint there? Where did I run the idea last week that Trump said that all Mexicans are criminals? There's no basis for that. His statement at his announcement was simply, it was very simple. Of all of the good Mexican people that there are, Mexico's government is working strategically so that only specifically the bad Mexican people and not the many more good Mexican people are the ones that are coming in over the border illegally. That's what he clearly was saying. But people take these ultra edited sound bites, refuse to listen to the whole thing, and they conclude that therefore I know and can prove in court that Trump hates all Mexicans. It's beyond me how that works. Walls are good so that the many good people can come in and that specifically the solemn or bad people can't. America needs to get along with people from Mexico. We can't fight with them. And China is no exception. China also. So there was a war. China took some of those opium dealers and just like tortured them and killed them and burned them or whatever. And Britain's like, you don't treat our people that way. And see, China, in their childishness, they only see what's in front of them. They don't understand that there's a powerful Royal Navy armada, an entire fleet that could come and blast them back to glass even 150 years ago. They thought that by torturing this one guy, one or two drug dealers, that was going to make all of England run away. And it's delusional. This is how the Chinese work. It's delusional. Britain responded. They just destroyed a whole bunch of stuff in China. And China surrendered. And Britain got Hong Kong Island out of it. And later on, Hong Kong Island was too awesome and too big. So they started to take more land into China's mainland. So Hong Kong included Hong Kong Island, a few islands around it, and then parts of the mainland. Okay. So of that, Hong Kong Island was surrendered to Britain properly. But the rest, especially the New Territories area, was leased from China. And there came this agreement that all of it would be given back to China in 1997, but as a condition of that, China must not change anything Hong Kong runs itself until 2047. And China thinks that they can go break that part of the treaty and not break the entire treaty. You can't break part of a treaty. It's all or nothing. And China doesn't get that. They didn't get that 150 years in the Opium Wars about how the West works and how the West will respond regardless of what China barks and shouts. And they didn't get that today. Well, what's the West doing? What is the West doing to help? The West is provoking a war with China. America is, Britain is, Europe is. All this stuff that's happening gives China a chance to be good, to behave, to be nice. And then China doesn't. And so then the West is justified in the conscience of the West to disagree with China and to take steps to stop China from being so mean. And as that develops, China is more and more cruel and mean and aggressive, and they don't learn and they don't stop, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And then eventually it's going to provoke China to a war where China will lose again like 150 years ago. And that's how, for example, Hong Kong will end up being freed. That's how the West is helping Hong Kong. See you tomorrow.